Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Wednesday edition. April 11th is the date today, 2007. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. A little rant today to bring some people up to speed on our Money Masters interview that we did yesterday, that the French Connection put together yesterday with Pat Carmack and Bill Stilt. Now, for those of you who have not seen the Money Masters, I urge you to look at that documentary. It is thorough. It is powerful. It is well researched. It is full of quotes and important concepts and extraordinary connections. It is one of the most remarkable videos I think ever put together. And when you're done watching it and then you have put together the information that we here at the French Connection have also provided you for, in other subjects, it becomes extraordinarily clear to anyone the real depth of this conspiracy and what really is happening to not only America but the world. And, you know, that being said, the interview last night is another issue. And I had a couple of opportunities during the interview to pose a couple of important questions to both Patrick and Bill. And when I brought up the idea that a single group was predominant in the actions being taken around the world to destroy freedom in both, you know, the United States, Europe, and everywhere for that matter, he got extraordinarily defensive and said that it was not about individuals, it's about a system that we have to get rid of. And now this flies in the face of 2 years of research I've done, is what it does. And at the time he said it, I didn't challenge him on it, and I feel a little bit bad about it for not having said, well, why not? I mean, why can't we find out about the Kahn family and the Miller family and the Loebs and the Crown family of Chicago and Ladine and the Estee Lauder fortune and all of these and the Honig family in Austria and the Warburgs and the Schiffs why can't we look into the Lord Levy's of the world and the I thought to myself afterwards, having not done that, really, I let out something I should have actually taken an action. Now that's a mea culpa on my part because, you know, interviewing somebody who you are expecting to be in support of you and you in support of them leaves you in a mindset of trying to ask probing questions but not challenging ones. Probing meaning you figure while you're asking the questions that you're going to be bringing out information that both of you want to share. And when I got hit with this fearful, see, there you go, and that's what we don't want, and that really surprised me a bit. Now, there's another question that arises. Why would somebody who put together the most incredible video that I've ever looked at be all of a sudden not wanting to address the very information he put in that video? That's a very good question. And I don't know the answer definitively, but there is something awry here, something wrong, something certainly not acceptable in when you view the entire amount of information that is in that video. In other words, he discusses the people who fomented the war in the Civil War and how it happened and who the people were and who they worked for. And he talks about the Rothschild family. He talks about the Bank of England and its formation. And he names names and he names family members and he names. And he goes all the way up through to the present. All the way through, Lucky Lindy and Charles Lindbergh's father, and he talks about how the different people who ran World War II were involved in certain obfuscations and certain lies and deceptions and cover-ups, and how the Lusitania happened, and how Bismarck, Otto von Bismarck, talked about it, and all through this. In fact, 90% of that video is talking about who did who, what to who. And almost to a man, the bad guys in this video are from a particular community, or at least the people who ordered the actions are from a single community. And there's absolutely, positively no reason for me to think, or you, based on research that's current, to think that the leadership of this group has changed. And in fact, it's pretty definitive as far as I'm concerned, based upon all of the actions being taken in the world on behalf of this group, the power of the APEC lobby and whatnot. And looking at the power base of all the richest people and look who's behind the law, the lawmakers and who's behind the law breakers in the world. The drug trade, the child sex trade, the white slavery trade. And it goes on and on. So when that almost venomous stop of my probing question in that area was leveled, and what ended up happening is, in order to go on with the interview, Patrick Comack began to speak almost in code about individuals, he would say, and I think there is a clear interest by these men, or at least Pat at the time, to want to address the people involved. That's the sense I got. And he went on to use the word individual, and in fact, on the one hand, he's agreeing with Bill not to talk about individuals, and then a couple of sentences later, he's talking about them. So, but somehow something is awry here, and I decided not to invite them back on the show. That doesn't mean I don't think the video's good. Now, they did the video. They started the video's research back in 1996, 97. It's a very, very long time ago, ladies and gentlemen, and they've had a lot of time to be visited. And I know Bill has children, and I don't remember asking Pat if he did, but certainly with the kind of probing investigation that was done by these two gentlemen back in that day and back in that period, one would not be surprised to find out that they had maybe had problems or threats or visits or whatever. And if that were the case, which I don't know it was, I'm maybe using I guess fuzzy logic here, but it makes sense to me that something happened. Okay, and if somebody puts out that quality level of work and then comes on a radio show and won't even defend the very information that was involved in the video itself, there is a big flag that gets thrown, a big red flag. Holy smokes, what's going on here? So, but you must also understand, and Eric brought this up earlier, often when people like myself, like Eric, like Bolin, like Bill Still even, come out, we're virtually standing out here dangling and blowing in the breeze. That's true. You know, we're not part of the Alex Jones nonsense crowd over there pushing people away from Zionism and the Miller family and the Honigs and the rest. He's over there promoting loose change that doesn't ever talk about the Israeli connection to any of this. And he only treats lightly the connections to Mossad and Israelis and Herzliya and the, they call them neocons. Of course, they're not neocons. They're Zionist Jewish leadership with dual citizenship in most instances, the Chertoffs of the world and the rest of them. And none of these people bring this up, and they also don't attack the ownership and leadership of the press. Now, Bill and Pat both talked about the press last night, and there are individuals involved. There's Levin, and there's Eisner, and I mean, you can go down the list in America about who owns and Murdoch and the rest, and you know that the promotion of these people is in a single direction, and that is toward pro-Israeli, pro Likudnik, pro-Zabotinsky, pro-Zionist bent. Excuse me. So, They say this in the video. They talk about them buying, using their monies and their power and their acquired wealth to go out and buy up media assets, newspapers, and the like, in order to fully control the flow of information. And they also talked about, and I asked them questions about the founding of the different political movements in the world, communism, socialism, and the rest. And behind each and every one of these political dogmas that have risen up is a Zionist Jewish group, the Ingalls of the world, which wasn't his name, when you come up with stuff from the Communist Manifesto and the rest of it, this stuff comes out of think tanks that were set up by Zionist Jewish leadership 150, 200 years ago. Pretty clear. Then it was popularized, pushed out into the press, and then foisted upon people during times of desperation in war, famine, conflict, despair. And of course, they take root in those periods. Not unlike this latest, which I believe is a Zionist front, Scientology, which is another one that they're trying to get some legs under. And it seems to work in some instances. I didn't even know it was as successful as it is. I thought to myself, who in their right mind would ever follow something so nonsensical as that crap? But apparently people do, because they're desperate, because they're lonely, because they're empty, because they're easily led, because they're brainwashed, because they're television addicts, because they're dangling out there in the wind emotionally and unable to make rational judgments. But where does that leave people like myself and like Eric? As long as people don't come to the aid of the real people telling the story here, we're always going to be hanging out there. And frankly, if somebody does get to somebody and says, here, there, Bill, here's a picture of your child leaving school, or, and you got an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old or whatever the age of your child is. If that doesn't that doesn't make you pause, that would give you a coronary. Let's be honest here. So, is that situation what happened? I don't know, and I'm not going to claim to know. All I do know is that if people were coming to our aid, it would be much less likely to be happening. It would be much less likely that we would feel threatened and be in an environment where we have to pull our punches or backtrack from known facts that we've placed out before you. Yeah. Now, here is the conundrum here when we're looking at this. Someone told me that Ben Friedman somehow was a compromised person. There was somebody that was making that claim. But when you listen to Ben Friedman's work that came from 1960, he was spot on about so many facts very early in the middle of the century. I mean, and he goes back and talks about the Balfour documents and the Morgenthau involvement and Baruch and Brandeis and all of the different, people that worked together to get this Palestinian land theft started back at the beginning of the century. He documents it. But then they say he was playing both sides of the fence. Well, my question then becomes, if that's the case, the information he put out was pretty darn solid at the time. Pretty good. Now, does that mean we can't use that information as being valid? Well, it's not 100% perfect anymore, that's for sure, but it still has value. And I'm going to tell you that I think The Money Masters is a documentary. In other words, the information is documented. If you notice most of the words that they put up on the screen, there are quotations around it. The people like Buell and Biddle and Gouverneur Morris Hamilton and all of the different people they mentioned throughout this thing, and Bismarck and all of them. They did the work. Told you the document it came from. The information came from this place, that place. So on its face, you can accept those facts. But you know, I'll ask everybody out there who's interested in the truth, maybe relook at that. I've sat through it twice in its entirety and looked through it a third time as well. But I never looked at it with a jaundiced eye. And so my next point to you would be, just because they use facts, were they telling the right story? That would be the next question, and I would urge people to look at it and see if, in light of the fearful, the fear that was demonstrated by Bill Still in responding to actual identification of the criminals, which, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't identify the criminals, you can't get rid of them. They'll just drop out of sight for a little while and come battling back with their tens of billions and you know, give you a beating or assassinate you or pay off the next Congress that gets elected or whatever. And so basically, without identifying them, I can't see how we can win this. We have to do this. We have to do this correctly, and we have to get rid of the people perpetrating the crimes. And just changing the money system, which I believe is a good idea, is the right thing to do. But it's certainly not all that needs to be done. And, you know, somebody brought up the idea that gold in their hands and this and that. And I thought to myself, okay, you're right. Gold can be used to back money. And it actually can be used successfully if the gold is removed from these criminals' hands. And so what this would require is that we get rid of the criminals. We arrest them. We do with them what is done to mass murdering criminal groups. And we confiscate the finances, the gold, the money that these people have amassed, every dime, and make their prodigy welfare status and the people who actually did it out of business, and returned gold to the treasury of individual countries, then yeah, gold could be a system that backs money. It could be. Gold in personal, in the hands of the people individually has a place. But do I think the gold system is the right one? Well, no. I talked to James Gibbs Stewart over here in England, and he does not believe gold is the answer. In fact, he believes a responsible fiat money system backed by the government of the country that's underwriting it and making responsible the politicians who spend that money, and knowing full well that if they spend it improperly or wrongly, one, they'll be arrested and jailed if they steal it, or two, they will be unelected. And making the ties to the money usage very clear. Now, as long as you don't produce more money than the goods that they're chasing, you're not going to have problems with a money system that's fiat, especially if it's not debt-based. Not debt-based. And that was another thing, you know, that when I asked this information about debt-based money systems and Bill came out with the fiat thing, which had nothing to do with what I asked, and he got a big save by Pat. It became clear why maybe Bill wanted Pat in the interview, because maybe Bill was just being a front guy in some of the information. I don't know. But, yeah. And so, you know, we contacted them by email. We got in touch with these folks, and they were good enough to do the interview. And I don't want to say that they are... They have been threatened. I don't know that to be true. But I do know, if you listen to the interview, they did not want to talk about certain things, and that was absolutely stated by them clearly. So, and I don't think it was the correct stand to take. And in hindsight, I wished I would have said something, but I guess I wasn't expecting to have to be confrontational in that way. And, you go into these interviews with a mindset, and when you're not ready to be confrontational with things, you kind of ask the right question and say, oh, okay, and you go on to something else. But later on, boy, it really started crawling up around inside my head, and I didn't like what it made me feel like, and I didn't want you guys to think that I was letting you down by not addressing the proper questions. I didn't want that to happen, and I don't want you to think for a minute that, you know, if we were to support these people correctly, And you were, if the public and the police departments and the courts would begin to protect the people who are telling these facts honestly, maybe we wouldn't be running the risk of having people be threatened out of being a truth teller. And again, you know, from 1996 till now, that's 11 years they've had to come and change this guy's world. You know, did they change it by threat or by, you know, I don't know what they would do. You know, they've poked around my house actually it's over a year now ago. As far as I know, they have. I haven't caught them in my rubbish cans anymore and stuff. But, you know, they're willing to take overt actions to stop people from doing stuff. And we know that. You know it. It's clear. And if you look at how many people are really out there digging through these facts like we're doing, you'll know that, you know, that things could frighten off people from trying to pursue it. So I thought I would bring that up to you and let you know that there wouldn't be a return visit because I don't want to be in a situation where I'm going to start yelling and screaming and because I would go into the next interview with a very different emotional bent. I would certainly be far more interested in forcing the issue on individuals who participated in stealing from me. You don't let murderous felons go undetected, period. It's just not the way this is done. And I don't endorse that, and I will never endorse that. But anyway, I needed to say that. This is an important, addendum to the information that was provided last night. I still highly, in fact, number one recommendation of all the things you need to watch, the Money Masters will educate you more about these people and how they've done all this stuff than anything else you can put in front of your eyes. It's still the best, it's the best game out there. And, so maybe you all need to at least see that, give it another look, and if you do find something that makes you makes your hackles brings your hackles up a little bit, let me know about that too, and I'll look into it. If I got the energy to do that. But until the next time,